morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870.
And I say every, but if I'm not, like I was last week.
You've trained up a fill-in,
have
you?
We have Mr. Scott Ridgway here, our co-host.
He's been meaning to talk to you about that. he's not sure if we need you on the show.
Oh, okay. Kidding. You know, we had a lot of fun.
How much damage was done last week?
We didn't get any calls from the FCC, so we're good.
So, well, that is very good.
The FCC.
It's glad to be back.
Or the SEC.
I appreciate you covering for me. We were actually speaking of property. We were visiting the original family homestead back in Oklahoma.
So what was that like?
You know, it was a blast. I mean, like I say, very into property. Family's always been into property. And, you know,
it's really in your blood, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it was really cool to go back there, and they managed to keep it in the family. And so it was nice to, it was funny. I can't help but go look at real estate wherever I'm at. And I had to send a picture back to one of our builders, Lapeer Homes, because I was laughing. One development I went through, some of the regulations are a little less lax, I think, in Oklahoma, because there was a house, and I said, talk about 5-foot setbacks. There was a chimney of one house that was literally 4 to 5 inches from another house.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, you, I don't know how you could even get between the homes, you know, if you had to. So we got a kick out of some of the anomalies that went through the Planning Commission, or lack thereof.
Obviously, what Planning Commission?
Well, there you have it, folks. Grassroots realtor right there.
Grassroots realtor. But speaking of Planning Commissions, we always like to start off with a little local news. And there has kind of been, you know, continuing to develop some issues going on with the proposed apartment complex in South Richland there, mm-hmm. by the Applewood. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of discussions and then lawsuits filed because the age was changed. Originally, the apartments were supposed to be age-restricted adult-type living. Mm-hmm. There was a change made that allowed it to be non-age-restricted, which then, you know, drastically changed kind of the development. That's what the homeowners were saying in their lawsuit.
Well, they were going to do it without having a new planning commission vote or public hearing. They just went and changed it without a public hearing.
Yeah, it was a minor change. It was deemed as a minor change by the city and a major change by the residents, and so there was definitely some disagreement there. So what happened is the judge ruled that that those building permits were invalid. Ooh. And so they've sent that back. And so that's going to now need to go back, be reapplied for, and go back through, you know, unless there's an appeal, of course.
So there could be some delays, is what we're hearing.
So there could be some delays, or it could go, you know, it could eventually go back. But the biggest thing there is that I think the residents were most concerned about was they didn't allow the chance to voice their opinion about what was going on in affecting property values.
Mm-hmm. And, that's fair.
And, you know, in development and property values, and I thought it was a great quote, you know, somebody did say in the article, there wasn't a quote, but there was discussion of, you know, just balancing those differences. And so making sure that process has gone through. And it just further kind of, we've talked to developers, we've had them on the show before. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult process. You know, we're balancing the interests of local homeowners, the interests of 99% occupancy rate, needing more apartments.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Need more housing.
And then where do you put those, though, to kind of find a happy medium to make everybody happy? So there's definitely, as more comes out on that, we will definitely keep you posted. But as far as the dirt piles that were out there and moved, I think they're going to be on hold for a little while. So anyway, that's the update there with some of our local neighborhoods and what's happening. Now, this week, we decided to focus on the topic because, you know, it's a new year, and what we've seen happening with the economy and building and stuff is what has happened to houses. How has housing changed in the last couple of years? Mm-hmm. What are buyers looking for now, and which way are we trending? Mm-hmm. And so it's important to know, because tastes change, and then that affects values. That affects the value of your home. Mm-hmm. the first one, number one on that trend that we're seeing is we're actually seeing kind of a little bit of a regression back to smaller homes. Mm-hmm. You had over the last 4, 5, 6 years, mm-hmm. in fact, they coined a term for it in the cities, you had what became known as McMansions.
McMansions.
These are just, you know, in the industry realm, that term is the big square box, 4,000 square feet, you know, just stacked, you know, where they were tearing down smaller homes and building these in older neighborhoods, especially mm-hmm. in more denser, you know, populations. But the McMansion trend was huge there for a while, 4,000, 5,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. On a tiny little lot.
Yeah, on a tiny little lot.
And then people find out how much effort it is to take care of those
big
homes.
And that's exactly what's happened mm-hmm. kind of with the economy now, you know, generally nationwide and the focus. So National Association of Home Builders reports that, for instance, in 2007, the average square footage of a home was 2,277, and now in 2010 that's dropped by over 150 square feet and is now down to 2,135, which didn't seem like a huge change, but statistically across mm-hmm. the nation that's a pretty significant change. And so what we're seeing is we're seeing people having, you know, less opulence of what we've had the last 4 or 5 years. They're keeping the same number of rooms, but just downsizing the square footage.
Well, less to heat, less to cool. Overall utility bills might be a little lower. Less to clean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then by bringing the square footage down, you're also bringing the price down. And so that's making those homes more affordable. So number one trend that we're looking at and that we're seeing for 2011 is slightly smaller homes. I thought the second one, you know, as they looked at the studies and surveys, I thought the second one was great. Funny, but great. I wasn't expecting it. But also, one of the biggest changes to look for in 2011 that you might possibly see, too, is the return of the front porch. You know, for so long, it was all about fencing in your backyard, you know, in your back patio, and you rarely would see, you'd see these entryways, you know, kind of these grand entryways
in
this house, but no front porch.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what they found is it's, you know, it's really segmented and kind of gives you that lack of a sense of community, but people are really responding back to, you know, the sense of community. You know, the people sitting out on their front porch, watching the kids play, running over to the neighbor's
house. What would the world be like if we turned our cell phones off, eliminated texting, and sat on a front porch and communicated with each other?
Yeah.
Maybe things would be a little different, huh?
Well, and another thing is, too, is that a front porch gives you an entirely different area that you can utilize. Without a front porch, what are you going to do, sit on the steps?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So we're seeing trend-wise, we're seeing a couple different things, too, and a couple new technologies that are coming to place is a lot of people now are plumbing, not just for, you would used to see like a barbecue stub, you know, but now there are a lot of times plumbing a gas stub at the top of that front porch.
Oh.
People are adding some of those outdoor radiant heaters.
That would be really nice.
And then, you know, extending the use of this square footage, you know, another 2 or 3 months.
Makes it another outdoor room.
And so it kind of goes along with the theme here, smaller square footage, but this is cheap square footage that you can add as the homes get a little smaller and add this as outdoor living space and still keep your costs down. So we're going to see more of the front and side porches, a little bit of design changes in homes as that comes about, and definitely look for that to be one of the trends.
Mm.
Now, we could devote a whole show to this, and the next point, and in the past we have, and we've talked about this a lot, but it's continuing to gain more and more steam, and that is green building and energy efficiency is huge. You know, it used to be just kind of one of those things, oh, great, yeah, sure. You know, that's just more
expensive. Yeah, why not? Just add a little bit here, a little bit there.
Right, and that's just not the case now. Now we're seeing consumers demanding that. We're seeing way more insulated foam construction with the thicker walls, and we're seeing energy bills really come down to be an issue. And in fact, you know, on the front lines and in the ground, as we're selling real estate every day, I can tell you that this trend is alive and well and huge. It used to be in the past, you know, I can't even say 4 or 5 years ago,
it was rare that a customer or a consumer would ask us, you know, for
the last year's utility bills.
And I tell you what, it's become almost a standard for us now to have that information in the file because we know to expect that. And so, you know, that's one piece of our system that we as agents have had to update to keep up with this trend is having that information in our file so that when the consumer asks for it, we have it. Mm. You can calculate your budget. You can calculate. We've talked about the hidden costs of home ownership before, mm-hmm. and this allows you to make sure you're dealing with that up front.
So, well, if you're cutting $100 off a month, that's $1,200 a year.
Exactly.
You know, in this economic downturn, you're seeing people pay down debt and be much more aware of a budget. For those of you that don't have a budget out there, get with us and we can help you create a budget because that's super important.
So energy efficiency in the home, that is becoming a big trend we're looking at. Everything from better windows and doors to, you know, more efficient heating and AC systems and also updating the older homes with these items, mm-hmm. you know, in the remodeling stage of things is becoming huge. And that's what the consumers are looking for, even as they're looking at older homes. They might be looking at older homes, but they're looking for these updates. Mm-hmm. So those are mm-hmm. huge. Mm-hmm. So that's our first three we've got. We've got two more big points that we'll be able to cover after the break. But before we do that, let's get a little bit of a lending update. Scott, what are you seeing in the mortgage side of things and what's happening with lending right now?
Well, like I was mentioning, we're seeing people consolidating and bringing their debt levels down, which is really nice. And the FHA loans have seen a lot of changes. We may get into those here. We may not get into those. But I wanted to talk about an example here from a credit score standpoint, because this is something that Cobalt really specializes in. And we want to make sure that we're not only helping people get into homes, but we're also trying to set them up long term. So just in a real quick note, we had a loan officer in our company that had a client with a mid score of a 617, and we require a 640 credit score for FHA. That's an overlay that we have. What they did is they paid off two small credit cards that had $500 limits, and we did a rapid rescore, which only cost $35. That rapid rescore, which only takes literally a day or two, brought that client's credit score from 617 to 656, qualified them now for an FHA loan, and we were able to get that transaction closed. So again, call me, Scott Ridgway, at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004, so that we can help you with a plan to get you into a home now.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That rapid rescore, I mean, I can tell you there's a lot of lenders that aren't willing to take those extra steps and do that, mm-hmm. or even provide that as an option. I mean,
do this rapid rescore. There you go.
That's
yep.
fabulous.
And so you've got to have the relationships with those credit reporting agencies so that you can put those together quickly. And we've worked with these agencies for a decade and a half plus. So whatever we can do to help our clients so that they could be qualified and in Lance's car so that he can show them a home, write a contract, and close a transaction for them.
Well, that sounds great, Scott. We look forward to hearing some more about that and some more of those loan programs after the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Kenmore with the Kenmore team and Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870, and I say every, but if I'm not, like I was last week.
You've trained up a fill-in,
have
you?
We have Mr. Scott Ridgway here, our co-host.
He's been meaning to talk to you about that. he's not sure if we need you on the show.
I'm just okay. Kidding. You know, we had a lot of fun.
How much damage was done last week?
We didn't get any calls from the FCC. So we're good.
So, well, that is very good.
The FCC.
Well, it's glad to be back.
Or the SEC.
I appreciate you covering for me. We were actually speaking to property. We were visiting the original family homestead back in Oklahoma.
So what was that like?
You know, it was a blast. I mean, like I say, very into property. Family's always been into property. And, you know,
it's really in your blood, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it was really cool to go back there, and they managed to keep it in the family. And so... It was nice to, it was funny. I can't help but go look at real estate wherever I'm at, and I had to send a picture back to one of our builders, Lapeer Homes, because I was laughing one development I went through. Some of the regulations are a little less lax, I think, in Oklahoma, because there was a house, and I said, talk about 5-foot setbacks. There was a chimney of one house that was literally 4 to 5 inches from another house.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't know how you could even get between the homes, you know, if you had to. So we got a kick out of some of the anomalies that went through the Planning Commission, or lack thereof.
Obviously, what Planning Commission?
Well, there you have it, folks. Grassroots realtor right there.
Grassroots realtor. But speaking of Planning Commissions, we always like to start off with a little local news, and there has kind of been, you know, continuing to develop some issues going on with a proposed apartment complex in South Richland there, mm-hmm. by the Applewood. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of discussions and then lawsuits filed because the age was changed. Originally, the apartments were supposed to be age-restricted adult-type living. Mm-hmm. There was a change made that allowed it to be non-age-restricted, which then, you know, drastically changed kind of the development. That's what the homeowners were saying in their lawsuit.
Well, they were going to do it without, it says here, without having a new Planning Commission vote or public hearing. They just went and changed it without a public hearing.
Yeah, it was a minor change. It was deemed as a minor change by the city and a major change by the residents, and so there was definitely some disagreement there. So what happened is the judge ruled that that those building permits were invalid. Ooh. And so they've sent that back. And so that's going to now need to go back, be reapplied for, and go back through, you know, unless there's an appeal, of course.
So there could be some delays, is what we're hearing.
So there could be some delays, or it could go, you know, it could eventually go back. But the biggest thing there is that I think the residents were most concerned about was they didn't allow the chance to voice their opinion about what was going on and affecting property values.
Mm-hmm. And that's fair.
And, you know, in development and property values, and I thought it was a great quote, you know, somebody did say in the article, there wasn't a quote, but there was discussion of, you know, just balancing those differences. And so making sure that process has gone through. And it just further kind of, we've talked to developers, we've had them on the show before. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult process. You know, we're balancing the interests of local homeowners, the interests of 99% occupancy rate, needing more apartments.
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Need more housing.
And then where do you put those, though, to kind of find a happy median to make everybody happy? So there's definitely, as more comes out on that, we will definitely keep you posted. But as far as the dirt piles that were out there and moved, I think they're going to be on hold for a little while.
Wow.
So anyway, that's the update there with some of our local neighborhoods and what's happening. Now, this week, we decided to focus on the topic because, you know, it's a new year, and what we've seen happening with the economy and building and stuff is what has happened to houses. How has housing changed in the last couple of years? Mm-hmm. What are buyers looking for now, and which way are we trending? And so it's important to know, because tastes change, and then that affects values. That affects the value of your home. Mm-hmm. The first one, number one on that trend that we're seeing, is we're actually seeing kind of a little bit of a regression back to smaller homes. Mm-hmm. You had over the last 4, 5, 6 years, mm-hmm. in fact, they coined a term for it in the cities, you had what became known as McMansions.
McMansions.
And these are just, you know, in the industry realm, that term is the big square box, 4,000 square feet, you know, just stacked, you know, where they were tearing down smaller homes and building these in older neighborhoods, especially mm-hmm. in more denser, you know, populations. But the McMansion trend was huge there for a while, 4,000, 5,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. On a tiny little lot.
Yeah, on a tiny little lot.
And then people find out how much effort it is to take care of those big homes.
And that's exactly what's happened mm-hmm. kind of with the economy now, you know, generally nationwide and the focus. So National Association of Home Builders reports that, for instance, in 2007, the average square foot
square footage of a home was 2277, and now in 2010 that's dropped by over 150 square feet and is now down to 2135, which didn't seem like a huge change, but statistically across the nation that's a pretty significant change. And so what we're seeing is we're seeing people having, you know, less opulence of what we've had the last 4 or 5 years. They're keeping the same number of rooms, but just downsizing the square footage.
Well, less to heat, less to cool. Overall utility bills might be a little lower. Less to clean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then by bringing the square footage down, you're also bringing the price down. And so that's making those homes more affordable. So number one trend that we're looking at and that we're seeing for 2011 is slightly smaller homes. I thought the second one, you know, as they looked at the studies and surveys, I thought the second one was great. Funny, but great. I wasn't expecting it. But also, one of the biggest changes to look for in 2011 that you might possibly see, too, is the return of the front porch. You know, for so long, it was all about fencing in your backyard, you know, in your back patio, and you rarely would see, you'd see these entryways, you know, kind of these grand entryways in this house, but no front porch.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what they found is it's, you know, it's really segmented and kind of gives you that lack of a sense of community, but people are really responding back to, you know, the sense of community, you know, the people sitting out on their front porch, watching the kids play, running over to the neighbor's
house. What would the world be like if we turned our cell phones off, eliminated texting, and sat on a front porch and communicated with each other?
Yeah.
Maybe things would be a little different, huh?
Well, and another thing is, too, is that a front porch gives you an entirely different area that you can utilize. Without a front porch, what are you going to do, sit on the steps?
Exactly. So we're seeing trend-wise, we're seeing a couple different things, too, and a couple new technologies that are coming to place is a lot of people now are plumbing, not just for, you would used to see like a barbecue stub, you know, but now there are a lot of times plumbing a gas stub at the top of that front porch. Oh. People are adding some of those outdoor radiant heaters.
That would be really nice.
And then, you know, extending the use of this square footage, you know, another 2 or 3 months.
Makes it another outdoor room.
And so it kind of goes along with the theme here, smaller square footage, but this is chief square footage that you can add as the homes get a little smaller and add this as outdoor living space and still keep your costs down. So we're going to see more of the front and side porches, a little bit of design changes in homes as that comes about, and definitely look for that to be one of the trends. Mm. Now, we could devote a whole show to this, and the next point, and in the past we have, and we've talked about this a lot, but it's continuing to gain more and more steam, and that is green building and energy efficiency is huge. You know, it used to be just kind of one of those things, oh, great, yeah, sure. You know, that's just more expensive.
Yeah, why not? Just add a little bit here, a little bit there.
Right, and that's just not the case now. Now we're seeing consumers demanding that. We're seeing way more insulated foam construction with the thicker walls, and we're seeing energy bills really come down to be an issue. And in fact, you know, on the front lines and in the ground, as we're selling real estate every day, I can tell you that this trend is alive and well and huge. It used to be in the past, you know, I can't even say 4 or 5 years ago, it was rare that a customer or a consumer would ask us, you know, for
what are the last year's utility bills.
And I tell you what, it's become almost a standard for us now to have that information in the file because we know to expect that. And so, you know, that's one piece of our system that we as agents have had to update to keep up with this trend, is having that information in our file so that when the consumer asks for it, we have it. Mm-hmm. You can calculate your budget. You can calculate, we've talked about the hidden costs of home ownership before, and this allows you to make sure you're dealing with that up front.
So, well, if you're cutting $100 off a month, that's $1,200 a year.
Exactly.
You know, in this economic downturn, you're seeing people pay down debt and be much more aware of a budget. For those of you that don't have a budget out there, get with us and we can help you create a budget, because that's super important.
So energy efficiency in the home, that is becoming a big trend we're looking at. Everything from better windows and doors to, you know, more efficient heating and AC systems, and also updating the older homes with these items, mm-hmm. you know, in the remodeling stage of things, is becoming huge. And that's what the consumers are looking for, even as they're looking at older homes. They might be looking at older homes, but they're looking for these updates. Mm-hmm. So those are mm-hmm. huge. Mm-hmm. So that's our first three we've got. We've got two more big points that we'll be able to cover after the break. But before we do that, let's get a little bit of a lending update. Scott, what are you seeing in the mortgage side of things, and what's happening with lending right now?
Well, like I was mentioning, we're seeing people consolidating and bringing their debt levels down, which is really nice. And the FHA loans have seen a lot of changes. We may get into those here. We may not get into those. But I wanted to talk about an example here from a credit score standpoint, because this is something that Cobalt really specializes in, and we want to make sure that we're not only helping people get into homes, but we're also trying to set them up long term. So just in a real quick note, we had a loan officer in our company that had a client with a mid score of a 617, and we require a 640 credit score for FHA. That's an overlay that we have. What they did is they paid off two small credit cards that had $500 limits, and we did a rapid rescore, which only cost $35. That rapid rescore, which only takes literally a day or two, brought that client's credit score from 617 to 656, qualified them now for an FHA loan, and we were able to get that transaction closed. So again, call me, Scott Ridgway, at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004, so that we can help you with a plan to get you into a home now.
That's great. That rapid rescore, I mean, I can tell you there's a lot of lenders that aren't willing to take those extra steps and do that, mm-hmm. or even provide that as an option.
I mean, do this, rapid rescore.
Rapid
there
rescore.
You go.
That's
yep.
fabulous.
And so you've got to have the relationships with those credit reporting agencies so that you can put those together quickly. And we've worked with these agencies for a decade and a half plus. So whatever we can do to help our clients so that they can be qualified and in Lance's car so that he can show them a home, write a contract, and close a transaction for them.
Well, that sounds great, Scott. We look forward to hearing some more about that and some more of those loan programs after the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.